Hello, hello, hello.
On the last episode of The Real Thing, we were celebrating 30 years of Rage. We heard from Josh Pike.
I'd made it, baby.
We had Andrew Denton.
I had some stuffed toys. I was just the guy in the office. Like, what about you?
And we had pretty much every Rage employee ever. But there was someone we missed.
I'm squeezing this. Watch me squeeze.
Denny Gordon.
Rage.
You don't know Denny?
Go again.
Rage.
Yeah, you might think to yourself, who the hell is Denny Gordon? But trust us, you know Denny.
So many people would probably have fallen asleep in front of the television only to be woken up by the scream.
Are you saying the titles and the ident of Rage are etched in people's subconscious?
That scream, yes, I think so. Rage!
Denny's the voice of Rage. And today we're saying thanks for screaming. Denny Gordon grew up in 1960s New
York. Oh my God, New York!
I just saw the fun side of, you know, playing out on the street and jumping double dutch and drawing things on the floor with chalk and just having a really fun time.
She loved Motown.
Anything Stevie Wonder, all the girls' groups, Ronettes, the Shirelles.
And her cousin married this famous R&B soul singer, Jackie Wilson.
You could drive in his chauffeured limousine that he had. I just thought I was the bee's knees. I mean, I would have been like 12 or 13, but it was big time, you know. And you'd go to the Apollo Theatre in Harlem and see Jackie on stage, and it was just great. That was my first brush with fame.
But Jackie wasn't Denny's inspiration for getting into showbiz. Like much of her life, it was an accident.
We moved to a different area and I saw the local high school and thought, no way, there's no way I'm going to that school. There's just no way. My options were to audition or apply for one of the specialized high schools. I happened to audition for performing arts, but I didn't really want to be an actor. I just happened to go, okay, fine, I'm here. Well, I'll just pretend.
Pretending to be an actor. After school, her first job was in a Jewish theater. Right from the start, she was attracted to cultures that weren't her own.
The people that attended the performances thought that I was the daughter of the black cleaner that worked in the theatre. The man mit the broom, because we were the only two black people in the... Why would you be in a Yiddish theatre? The play was in Yiddish. I saw your dad, the man mit the broom. No, that was not my dad. But once they found out I was not his daughter, they really did want to adopt me then because they thought I was insane. Why would you even want to be here with us? But I loved it.
One day, Denny heard about auditions for the counterculture rock musical Hair.
And everyone wanted to be in Hair. Everybody. You know, you could have been in some really big classic Broadway show, but Hair was the one.
Denny got a part. But there was a catch. This run of the uniquely American production was going to be in Australia. Did you know anything about Australia?
Nothing. I don't even think I knew that there were kangaroos that jumped down the main road.
Look, if you've never been here, you know, kangaroos do jump down the main streets between the buses and taxis. It's a regular occurrence. Get over it. Denny wasn't even sure if they spoke English in Australia.
Whilst I was in New York, I had to go in and look for maps. And I could not find a world map because every map was of New York. And New York is the world. And that's this map shop. It's New York is everything. It's the home of theatre. It's the home of great music, craziness. It's an insane city.
Why would you want to leave that?
Right. Why would you? And I think had I stayed longer, I may not have wanted to leave it. But because I was just young and just wanting to experience something new, you know, I just wanted to be my own independent person. It was perfect. Just like, this is too restricting. I need to spread my wings and go halfway around the planet. I just came home one day and said, okay, I'm going to Australia next week. See ya. I'm never coming back. What? Where? What? How? What are you doing?
Did you really think you were serious when you said you were never coming back?
Oh, I was deadly serious.
Why? Because I get that you want to expand your wings, you know, spread the wings.
I was just a vile teenager. I just wanted to say, stick it. I'm sticking it to you. I'm leaving.
So even though she still didn't see herself as a performer, she found herself on stage
on the other side of the planet. When Denny landed here, the culture shock was...
G'day.
Well, you can imagine.
Oh my God, I'm in this country and people sound so different and I don't know that I'll ever understand them when they go, g'day. What is he saying? But it was exciting because it was so new. It was just so different to anything I'd seen in New York. So different. Hello, it's 1969, folks. Let's kind of get with the program. But there was something really quaint and lovely about that. You reach Sydney, it was like, slow. I'm going, where are all the people? Like, where did you put your people? They say, well, they're in their backyards. No one's out on the street.
To Denny, it felt like there wasn't much happening here culturally either. By the time she'd left America, the civil rights movement was in full swing.
We want land, justice, housing, education, clothing, and peace. A United Nations supervised plebiscite in which only black people will participate to decide or determine the will of black people as to their national destiny.
Right on, brother. Right on.
At the time, you know, it's a big black power time in the States. Stand up and be counted, be strong, you know, and then you arrive in a place where that's not working for you so well because nobody really knows what you're talking about. I mean, you got all these white people, they don't know about black power. Really, what the Australians knew of was only what they saw on television.
And even though Australia was in the middle of some big cultural changes too, her efforts to connect weren't always received.
I tend to see black people on the street and go, hi, you know, I get really excited, like, oh, black person, hi. And they look at me as if to go, what? I don't even know you. Piss off. At one point, I worked as a chaperone for two boys in an Aboriginal play. And I would say to, you know, the people in the play, like, hey, you know, like, hey, brother, sister, you know, like, we're, and they go, they'd say, nah, there is nothing similar with us. So don't act like, you know, brother, sister stuff, because it's really not happening. Okay. I felt really like, oh, okay. And they were going, nah, come on.
Denny's outlook on race came from her family history and their experience as black Americans.
My mum came to spend 3 months here a number of years ago. We were in the Rocks and she wanted to buy some opals. We go into this gem store. The woman in the gem store puts a tray of gem opals on the counter and then she walks off. Like, she just disappears. So while I'm watching the woman disappear behind a door, turn around and my mum's no longer in the shop. My mum's outside the front door. I said, what are you doing out here? She said, it's a setup. It's a setup. What's a setup? Well, as soon as she leaves, then I'm supposed to steal the opals and then, you know, I get caught by the police as I'm at the front door. I went, Mum, I think she's a very stupid woman for leaving those with anyone. But she's not really targeting you. This is not a setup.
Then he started to feel at home in Australia. She stayed.
I loved Australia. I loved adopting Australianisms and just kind of being like everyone else.
Let's rewind to hair.
Give me a head with hair. Long, beautiful hair. Shining, gleaming, steaming, flaxen, waxen. Give me down the fair hair.
Denny describes her time working on hair as fantastic. She made lifelong friendships. Hair was rebellious. It was more than a musical. The cast were making a statement.
To take your clothes off, to become naked on stage with other people, does kind of cement your relationship for a very long time.
One of those friends was a young Marsha Hines. Marsha came out a few years after Denny. She was only 17.
She was fresh and new and young and wonderful, and I felt like I was a hardcore Australian by this point and I could show her the ropes. And was someone new and in a new country that they needed support and friendship and stuff, and we became close.
Close to the point where Marsha nicknamed her daughter after Denny, Denny Hines.
Say it clear now, L-O-V-E, love. People will say to me, what's your name? And I say, Denny. Debbie? No, Denny. Danny? Denny. And then I say, like Denny Hines. And they go, oh, yeah, Denny. Oh, great, thanks. If I say her name, everyone knows her. But me, it's like, no, I'm still Jenny or Danny, you know.
How does that feel that the person nicknamed after you
is better known than I am?
Oh, it's great. And she's younger as well. And then I went to a dinner one night and I sat at a table with people I didn't know. They asked me what my name was and I said, Denny. And they said, we love your music. I said, I don't think you do. I think you're thinking of someone else. No, no, it's you. No, it's not me. Of course it is you. No, my name is Denny Gordon. Oh, but it is you. Read the rings around my neck. It cannot be me. This child is not me. I am much older than she is. But they insisted for the entire dinner that I was Denny Hines and not Denny Gordon.
Because you're black and your name's Denny.
Exactly. You're black, you're here, you must be a singer, it must be you. And I love your stuff.
That strikes me as a little bit racist.
It could be if you choose to look at it that way. But I didn't. I just thought, you stupid idiot. You nong.
So you'd think, after Hair, Denny would have seen herself as a professional performer. Not the case.
So theatre was what you wanted to do, what you wanted to have a career in?
No. I told you no. I just did it.
Okay. No, but by this time, you know, you've done a few.
I'm thinking, oh, well, it's a nice ride. Oh, I'm just on a ride. And I went from one job to another, to another, to another, to another. It just happened. I wasn't really thinking about where I wanted to go or what I wanted to do. It just happened.
Denny did some other big shows in Australia. Superstar, Rocky Horror, Love's Labour's Lost. She was always adventurous.
If it sounds like a good idea, I was just in. Americans say, spinning on a dime. It's like you've got to make a change really quickly.
She also had a bunch of other jobs too, like opening up a cafe.
I was making fresh orange juice. And inevitably people would say, got any Orchie? You think, I'm squeezing this. Watch me squeeze.
At one point, she became a nanny for Jack Thompson's kids.
When we finished filming in Perth, he said, we're going to the States now and my nanny's fallen through. Do you want to come and be my nanny? I'm like, yeah, sure. I'm not a nanny, but let's give it a go. The baby woke up in the morning and I'd say, well, you feed him and when I get up, I'll do the rest. It's like, no, that's not the way nannies work. You get up, you feed the baby. So really, I didn't do very well as a nanny, but I did have a great time.
Denny actually had a child of her own, a daughter. Holly.
She grew up in the wings, what can I say? I'd sometimes put her in the front of house and say, okay, you know, when I come on stage, do not say hello, Mum. No waving. Just sit quietly. She traveled with me all the time. In fact, you know, if we stayed any place more than 6 months, she'd be saying, when are we moving? She loved it.
It's not a surprise then that Holly became part of the entertainment industry too. One day she picked up a gig that Denny knew intimately.
I got a call from someone saying, Holly's doing Hair. You're kidding. I didn't even know she could sing. What? She's in Hair. Well, isn't this freaking fantastic? Wonderful. I get to see my daughter performing. She's like so fantastic. Until the nude scene. And I'm thinking, oh no. Oh no, you don't. I want her off. So, take your eyes off my daughter. I saw you look and don't look. And so the first seats were like right on top of her vagina. Oh, no, no, no. Not happening. I was beside myself. So I had to say, I don't want her in the front row. I can read her labia. Get her out of the front row. This is ridiculous. My daughter said, oh, don't do this. You know, I have to stay in this show. You're going to leave. Don't make this so miserable for me. But being her mum and seeing her nude that close.
I thought you were going to say that, you know, it was a proud moment to see her up on stage naked, retracing your steps.
No.
I thought you were like a progressive New York mother.
I know.
Happy that you...
I thought I would be too. I was so surprised at my behaviour.
Denny had roles in theatre, film and TV when it suited. She grew to love the industry because she loved the camaraderie. She liked being in front of the camera just as much as she liked being behind the scenes. And that included working in catering.
Honestly, when you are on a film crew and it's all day, you are dependent on the food. It's the only thing that gives you real comfort. So it's really, 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 really important.
And she did catering until a bad day on set.
Get this radio call. We need more sandwiches or something. We need... What? You went out with tons. So I got on the radio and went, there's a meeting this afternoon at afternoon tea at the catering truck. The producers hear this, you go, who called that meeting?
At this point, they came clean about what happened to lunch.
Sorry, we had a food fight. Food fight. And so I just said, you know, I'll piss in your food. I said, I am so over all of you. You're so ungrateful. So the next day, some people were like bowing to me. Good morning. Thank you so much. You've been doing great. Thank you. Thank you. And others were like terrified. And then I thought, this is the end. I've had enough now. That's the end of my catering. Well, you can't threaten to piss in people's food and then expect to continue working, can you?
That's probably going to give you a bad reputation. I've got to be honest with you.
And that is the life and times of Denny Gordon.
Killer ending, Mike. You've absolutely nailed it, mate. But just one thing that you've forgotten.
What?
Rage?
So somewhere in the long stream of acting gigs, theatre, bit of radio.
Rage.
Rage!
I'm in some television program on the ABC. I'm in a studio. I think we're putting down some vocal tracks that day. And someone pops into the studio needing someone to do Rage, Rage, Rage for a demo.
Denny Gordon was in a TV show called Three Men and a Baby Grand.
A mate of mine, Keith Walker, he'd booked a session singer.
I rang her up and said, do you want to come in and do some bits and pieces? You don't have to do much, just come in and say Rage.
I took her into the studio and I said what I wanted. And she didn't seem to quite understand exactly what I was talking about. But then she got into it.
Scream it out, 10 different versions of it, till we got a mix of tones and sounds that we really liked.
Rage.
And that was it. That was the magic moment.
I can't say that it even took 5 minutes or 10 minutes, really. And then I was done with it and really never thought about it again until Rage appeared on television. And there I was.
Those unique screams became part of the fabric of Aussie TV. And that was cool for a while.
After 15 years or so, I started to dissociate from it. Like, it means nothing to me anymore.
You'd heard it so many times. Is that why?
Heard it over and over and over and over and over and over. And hearing it that much, you just kind of forget about it, really.
Denny was paid $40 for a time. It wasn't a dream come true. It's not something she reflects on. If she had a website, it probably wouldn't get a mention. And while her voice was screamed around the nation countless times every weekend, Denny just got on with it. Later in her career, she had a memorable stint as a teacher on Heartbreak High.
You have exactly 40 minutes to do this English exam.
And at the end of the 90s, she landed a gig as the High Priestess in The Matrix.
Again, it's just like, it was just another job. I didn't know anything about what it was going to turn out to be. I would find people coming up to me and saying my lines to me. Oh, I saw you in The Matrix. You can come in now or something.
Your uncle will see you now.
I can't even remember what I said. I called myself the door bitch because I opened up the door and went, oh, come in.
Denny was still doing gigs on stage up until about 7 years ago when her showbiz career came to an end.
I was in the Full Monty in Melbourne and I was walking across the stage and all of a sudden couldn't move my leg. I literally could not lift my leg off the floor. For a long time, I wasn't really walking too well. This was the culmination of a lot of years of silliness. Shows I've been in and walking on my knees, falling on my knees, falling, diving. You know, after a while, you just can't do those things. I was so depressed, I tell you, because I just thought, it's over. It really is over. Now what do I do?
In true Denny spinning on a dime Gordon style, she got on with it.
You got to leave yourself open for something new.
In recent years, she's been coaching English, and now she's shedding excess possessions.
I borrowed a suitcase, big suitcase, and I thought my life is going to be in that suitcase with a backpack, and I'm going to see if I can do it that way. Because I never know where I'm going to turn up, where I'm going to be, it's kind of exciting. But I'm ready because I've only got a bag. I can go anywhere. Despite the fact I don't know where it's going, I feel very content. There's a certain calmness that's come over me.
And after about 50 years, she's now finally working on becoming an Australian citizen.
I just thought, no, I really want to do it now. I just want to declare my loyalty to the country.
So you won't be saying to your family, I'm never coming back anytime soon.
Not to this family. This family's come with me. I'll let you know every step of the way where I am.
Meanwhile, back in the real thing world, Denny keeps screaming rage, and it's been 30 years. There's something unsatisfying about how Denny feels about it. I understand that she's moved on, but the scream is a part of Australian music culture. So I'll ask again, one more time, why she doesn't realise that this voiceover was more than just another gig.
Were you surprised that we rang you up to come and talk to you to see what you've gotten up to and if you remembered it?
I thought it was a scam. I really did. It's like my mum in the Opal store. It's a setup. They're going to get me.
Don't you think, though, that I know it's meant less and less to you over the years, but there's a certain legacy that comes with being part of such a thing that's been around so long, a cultural Australian thing. You know, rage is so Australian, and you're a part of that history. You have been for 30 years, and that must feel good.
I feel like I should say it does, but it's okay. You know, if I was, I don't know, maybe if I were receiving like little presents or something, like every year, like here's your rage present, I'd go, oh wow, isn't it great to be a part of? But I hear nothing of it. You know, there's no contact with anyone. There's no discussion about rage. And so it's almost as if it were just forgotten. So that's why I was so surprised to hear from you. Like, I thought it was just forgotten. Like, why would anyone mention it?
I know it's a very tiny consolation, but if I said to you, on behalf of the ABC, thank you so much for what you did 30 years ago, would that in a small way make you feel a little bit better?
That in a huge way makes me feel better.
Well, that's good.
Because that's coming from someone who's listened and think something of it. And that means a lot to me. But no one's ever said thanks for rage.
Okay, well, we've got it on the record now. As an ABC person, but also as a rage fan, hearing your voice via soundtrack, you woke me up so many times. thank you. Thank you so much for what you did.
Well, my pleasure. Now if you ask me how I feel about it, I say I feel really chuffed. I know, this is great. But yeah, that makes me feel really good. Because then I know that I've affected someone.
That concludes The Real Thing's Rage 30th birthday coverage. We've enjoyed it. We hope you have. We'll see you in another 30 years, or maybe towards the end of May when we'll be back with more episodes.
In the meantime, if you've enjoyed what you've been hearing on The Real Thing, firstly, if you can subscribe, if you haven't already subscribed.
Do that.
But also, leaving us a review is a great way to let us know how you're going, what you're thinking, and it also helps us get the word out about the show.
We love going in here for a little ego stroke every now and again.
Yes, sometimes when I'm feeling down.
Yeah, except, and we always ignore those one-star reviews and just read a five-star review like this one. Listen to the whole series driving the 8 hours from Sydney to Grafton. Made it go quick, awesome, and wacky stories that made you happy to be an Australian.
Oh, who said that?
Mimi QWERTY QWERTY QWERTY.
Nice, nice.
There we go. I've got like
one
that handle.
A recent one from Lockie89. He says, top level storytelling. Ooh. He compares us to This American Life, which I think I have heard of. And he says he thinks the real thing is very true to the Australian story. And that means a lot to us. That's what we're trying to do. Lockie, it's great to have you along for the ride.
Absolutely. And we'll see you for more episodes in about a month.
I'm Mike Williams.
I'm Timothy Nicastri.
That's the end of episode 12 of The Real Thing. Give it to me here.
Long, beautiful hair.